Well, who would be top dog? Who would be the greatest one on the mountain? James? John? Peter? Andrew? Well, Jesus takes them aside because they didn't know what greatness was. Some years ago, a man by the name of Dan Mazur wrote a book. And Dan is a professional mountain guide. Early one morning, Mazur was taking two very well-paying clients up the north ascent of Mount Everest. They were only 2 hours from the summit, 28,200 feet up, with another 835 feet to go. And they saw a dot of colored fabric. At first they thought it was a tent, but then they realized it was an abandoned climber. The climber was an Australian named Lincoln Hall. And Hall had made it to the top, as a matter of fact, but during the descent, he became gravely ill from oxygen deprivation. His two Sherpa guides tried to help him, but they were forced to leave him and save themselves. And when the Sherpas made it back to base camp, they told everyone that Hall was dead. But Hall wasn't dead. Somehow, he'd managed to survive the night without sleeping bag or oxygen or food. He'd perched himself on a small ridge. He could have easily dropped 6,000 feet to one side or 8,000 feet to the other. Hall was hallucinating when Mazur approached him. And Mazur's team spent the next 4 hours giving Hall bottled oxygen and food and liquids. And while they were working very hard to save this man, two Italian climbers passed him on the way to the summit. Mazur asked for their help, but they didn't speak English and kept on going. So Mazur radioed the base camp for help, and some of the Sherpas finally made it up and helped them. They helped save Hall, but by the time Mazur and his clients were too exhausted, they couldn't attempt the peak themselves. Their supplies were depleted. They couldn't wait for another day. So they had to return without completing the climb. Mazur didn't get his bonus for reaching the summit. But he said, "I have no regrets. I can always go back to the summit." But that man only had one life. If I had left him to die, that would have been on my conscience for the rest of my days. How could I live with that? So who is the greatest on the mountain? Was it the Italians who made it to the summit, who walked on by? Or was it Dan Mazur and his team who spent a great deal of time, money, and energy, and found themselves 835 feet short of their goal? Now, Jesus knows, and I hope you know, that their time, money, and effort was not wasted. They'd conquered Everest, even though they hadn't reached the top of the peak. Because Dan Mazur knew what greatness was. He and his team put aside their own dreams of conquering Everest for the sake of a fellow climber. Now, who would be greatest among the disciples? Who would make it to the top? Peter? James? John? Andrew? They didn't know what greatness was. They would learn, though. Because Jesus would show them what greatness is from the altar of the cross. Now, Jesus calls us to be his disciples, living under his discipline, being his true followers. And he calls us to set aside our own desires for the sake of others. He calls us to achieve the greatness of humility to rank first amongst our families and friends and communities by being a servant. If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be last of all and the servant of all. Now, in the second lesson today from our patron, James, we heard the sad marks of identification of the godless, people who have rejected God and his Son. The sign of a Christian is seen in setting one's own needs under the needs of others. As I said some weeks ago, the secret to joy in life is very simple. J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, yourself third. And we are called to do this continually, every day, every moment of every day. We are to put others before ourselves, the needs of children, the sick, the poor, the elderly. Call us away from ourselves and call us into Jesus. Every day, every hour of every day, we have to resist that temptation to selfishness, the temptation to put us first. And every day and every moment of every day, we are called to conquer a mountain which is much greater than Everest, and that mountain is ourselves. Once upon a time, the CEO of a large and important corporation promoted two of his brightest and best executives because they were so creative and they were so hardworking. And everyone in that company knew that one of those two men would be the next CEO. They'd been close friends for 20 years. And their combined talents and dedication had been responsible for the rapid growth of that firm. However, once it became clear to them that only one could win the prize, they began to undercut one another. And their friendship ended. And their wives stopped talking to one another, even though they'd been friends too. And the other executives enjoyed this rivalry and tried to undercut them both. Now, the big problem was that the two stopped cooperating with one another, and that cooperation had been the key to the firm's success. Sales fell off a little at first, and then a lot. And you can imagine that Wall Street didn't like this at all. 2 months before the CEO was due to retire, the board of directors intervened and fired him. They brought in a new CEO from another company. And everyone had said that if those two crown princes had only worked together a little more, they could have both won. Two children, an analyst said, could have run that company. It was so successful. Two children could have run that company, but the adults couldn't. The hymn in procession to the font is found at the top of page 3 of your bulletins.